26. And in Matthew 26, this is a fairly familiar passage. In verse 26 of this story, this record, it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in the kingdom, in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." So here is the sum total of what we have of Matthew's record of the Lord's Supper. The other Gospels don't have a lot more information in there. It's a very simple thing. But let me ask you something. Was this new to New Testament Christianity? Is communion new to the New New Testament Christianity? Now, it's kind of a trick question, but how many would say, yeah, it's new to New Testament Christianity? How many would say no? How many of you are not voting? Yeah, like a lot of you didn't vote. I saw that. I can see you up here, you know. All right. Does anybody know why that's a hard question to answer? Why is it so difficult to answer? Michael? Well, I don't know that we would call it communion, but you're kind of on the right track. Pastor Stewart. Okay, you're close. Yeah, all right. All right, terms are different. All right, Mark? Okay, what feast? What? Passover, there you go. That's why it's a little difficult for us to say yes or no. Is communion in its specific application new to New Testament Christianity? Absolutely. Celebrating the blood of Christ and what Christ came to them and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And this is what Luther actually argued. And he wrote on the table, underneath the tablecloth, when he was arguing this, "This is my body." And his argument was, it becomes the body of Christ. This is my blood. And so this concept of the elements representing or becoming in his mind the blood and the body of Christ, that is new. They did not have anything like that. But this was taking place at a very familiar feast time. You're in Matthew 26. Go back to the first of this chapter. In verse 1, "It came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, 'You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified.'" So they're doing this at a time when the Passover is about to come. Now jump down to verse 17 of the same chapter. "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, 'Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover meal?'" So this is the time when the Jewish nation is used to every year celebrating a feast, and it's the feast of the Passover. And so Jesus answers and tells them to go into the city go into the city to such a man and say unto him, 'The master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, and he sat down with the 12, and they did eat, and he said, 'Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me.' And they were exceeding sorrowful, and they talked about this. Then Judas went out and betrayed him." And then verse 26 is the passage that we read. And so when you look at it in its context of the evening, this is actually part of the Passover meal for them. This is something that they normally did, and as they finished that Passover meal, Jesus tacked this on. He made it part of that Passover meal. And what we learn is that throughout history, this superseded the Passover because if we were to take the time to look at Hebrews tonight, you'd realize that this takes the place of that Passover. But everybody in Jewish history was very familiar with Passover. Well, what was Passover? The roots of our New Testament communion has Passover in it. It was done on the night of the Passover when they celebrated the Passover. And so it would help us to know what is it that they were celebrating that night and why did Jesus choose that particular night to make his transition or make his addition to this Passover meal. Why is that so significant? What was the Passover meal? Well, let's just simply read through that tonight. Go back in your Bible to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12. You have read through a great deal of the Old Testament already, and back early in the year you read Job and then Genesis and Exodus. And in the first part of Exodus you have Moses being called, and then you have Moses going, starting in chapter 5, before Pharaoh, and he makes the demand before Pharaoh that they let his people go. And of course, Pharaoh says, I don't know who you are, and I don't know your God, and I'm not going to let the people go. And so over the course of the next few weeks and months, the plagues come upon Pharaoh and upon all Egypt. And by the time you get to chapter 12, they have had 9 of the 10 plagues. And most of the people in Egypt have said, Pharaoh, just let these people go. He's going to destroy our nation if you don't let him go. We're done for if you don't do something. Pharaoh relents. He won't let them. He lets them go, and then he says, no, I'm not going to let him go. And so when you get to chapter 12, we are at then the 10th plague, what will be the 10th plague, and it's one that you're familiar with. But I want you to read through because this is where the Passover comes from. And you'll see why it connects to the communion meal, or how it connects to that communion meal. All right, let's go to chapter 12, and I want to read some of this and just make a few comments so you understand how they are connected. Verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count of the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now let's stop there for just a minute after the sixth verse. Here is the Lord saying, we're going to now reorder your year. We're going to make this month from now on in your calendar the first month of the year. And on the 10th of this month, so if it was June, he would say, all right, on June 10th, Jesse and Joyce, they have a small household, they might have to join up with Kim and Lloyd. They're going to get a sheep out of their flock. And what gender? A male. And what other significant thing about it? Without blemish. They're going to go get a sheep, a male sheep, out of their flock without blemish. They're going to get it on the 10th day, and they're going to observe it for 4 days to make sure there's nothing wrong with this lamb. And then he says, here's what we're going to do. They're going to kill it in the evening, end of verse 6. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the 2 side posts on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with the water, or boiled, but roast with fire. His head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which does remain of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. All right, so here are the rest of his instructions up through verse 9. You're to kill this lamb, and then you're to sit down and you're to eat this thing with unleavened bread, no yeast in the bread, and with bitter herbs. And so this is not made to be a tasty meal. It would have flavor to it, but it would have some bitterness in it. So here are these instructions. And at the beginning, these people would look at it and go, why would we do this? They don't understand the significance of this until he goes through the rest of the chapter. You want us to take a lamb out of our flock, and you want us to kill it, and you want us to eat it, and we have to eat the whole thing that night, and if anything's left over the next day, we have to burn it completely. It has to be a male lamb, and it has to be perfect. Now, I hope in your mind that's resonating, because here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's called the perfect Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So here's this lamb, and Jesus proven to be sinless. So he had the time, the 4 days. It's very similar to the time that Jesus was in public ministry where he proved his sinlessness. And then they take this lamb and they kill it and they consume it immediately. It's an instantaneous thing. They eat it right away. They consume that thing. Now go on to verse 11. And thus you shall eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And remember, all the way through this, he's saying, you shall know that I am the Lord. Remember, we studied this one time where he said, you're going to know by the time I finish these plagues, I am the Lord. And here he makes his final statement to them, I am the Lord. Verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses which ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, and you shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Let's stop there again, because now it's getting a little more clear. If you're an Israelite and you're living in Egypt and you hear the first instructions, okay, the Lord wants us to go out and he wants us to take this lamb. It has to be a male lamb. It has to be 4 days. And then he wants us to come in and he wants us to eat this thing. We can't boil it. We have to roast it in the fire. And then we're going to eat it with bitter herbs. We can't boil it. We're going to eat it with bitter herbs. And not only that, we can't sit and be relaxed while we're eating it. In other words, we don't slouch down and just kind of sit and kind of have just this relaxed feeling. He said, I want you to eat it with your loins girded. If you remember what loins girded, when they had their robes on, when they were ready to do work, they would reach back and pull the back of their robe up, and then they would tuck it in their belt. And it would be like, for us, a pair of long shorts, so that they would get the robe out of the way, and then they could run or they could work. And so he said, I want your loins girded. You're to gird up your loins to be ready for work. And you're to put your shoes on your feet. And you're to have your staff in your hand. You took your staff with you for all kinds of things. It was kind of like a pocket knife. It could be used for anything. You had your staff to take care of your sheep, or you could use it to hit somebody, whatever you needed. But you were ready to go out and do something. And so you'd eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on, your staff, and you're to eat it in haste. You're to eat it quickly. This is to be done not at a leisurely pace. You're to eat this thing and get it done. This was something that was different for them. In the Middle East, one of the things you learn over there is that even today, I struggle with this. You know, I went to lunch today and I was eating, and about 3/4 of the way through, the server came by and she said, I'm going to put this on your table. It's my bill. And, you know, if you need anything else, you let me know. Well, that's normal here. When you're in the Middle East, you really struggle to get your bill. I had to kind of learn, how do I get out of a restaurant? Because they expect that you're going to spend a couple of hours there at that table. That when you come in, you're going to sit down and there's no hurry. They'll bring you your food and you'll sit there and talk. And if they were to take a check and lay it on a table like they do here, it would greatly offend people. They think they're rushing us. They still have that mindset. But he said, no, for this meal, you're to eat it quickly. Because it's significant. It signifies something in your life that's going to be memorable. And we kind of skipped one thing, because back in verse 7, he said, when you kill it, that blood is something you're going to need. You're to take a hyssop, it's a branch. You're to dip it in that blood, and then you're to put that blood on the doorpost, what we would know as the door frame around your house. And he said, I want you to make sure there's blood on that door frame, because there's going to be a death angel that's going to pass through the land. Verse 12, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt. And he said, it's going to be man and beast. And it's going to tell the people, all the gods that you're serving are worthless. They're powerless in my sight. You are going against the God of gods. I am the Lord. And the only way that you're going to survive this night, the only way your family is going to get out of this plague, is if you have the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost of your house. When that death angel comes by, if he sees the blood, there's that wonderful statement in the middle of verse 13. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Boy, what a wonderful statement. What a thought. And that same thought carries all the way through the Bible. As you read the rest of this passage, when you come to verse 15, it says, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. And whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save they which every man must eat, or the work that you have to do to prepare to eat. That only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. This is the week of the Passover. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at evening. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whatsoever or whosoever eats that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer or allow the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come into the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, and so did they. And then it goes on to tell about that tenth plague. And here is the choice that every person had that day. Moses is delivering a message. He's saying to them, folks, if you don't have the blood on the doorpost, on the lintel, if you don't have the blood, then you're going to have somebody die in your household. You're going to face the judgment. You're going to face the plague. The death angel is going to come for the firstborn in your house. You have a choice. If you'll believe that the blood of the Lamb will save you, then all you have to do is apply it. All you have to do is take your hyssop, dip it in the basin, get the blood, and put it on the doorpost of your house. That's all you have to do in order to escape the judgment that is coming. What a wonderful lesson. What a wonderful illustration of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And what a wonderful phrase that is still applicable in 2015. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And in this room tonight, we'll celebrate communion in just a moment, and that phrase still applies. For those who are here and you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, when He looks at you, when God looks at you and He sees you in Christ, it's the same as Him looking at you and saying, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I know that you've gotten things settled. You've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and that is taken care of in your heart. And you know that forever your sin has been forgiven. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Before we have our communion tonight, many of you will recognize that phrase. In your hymnal, there's a song called When I See the Blood. Number 256, I think many of you will recognize it. It says, Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you. Chiefest of sinners, Jesus will save. All He has promised, that He will do. Wash in the fountain open for sin, and I will pass over you. O great compassion, O boundless love, O loving kindness, faithful and true, find peace and shelter under the blood, and I will pass over you. What a wonderful message. And as we have communion tonight, it takes us back to that thought that blood has been critical from time past until now. And Jesus connects the communion meal with the Passover. Number 256, let's go ahead and stand together. And I'd like to sing all three of these verses, but with the knowledge that this is a real event that we're singing about.